So, we began a powerful series on Sunday talking about thoroughly furnished, and we introduced the subject on Sunday. It was the school of greatness. So, Sunday was class one in the school of greatness, and today you can say it's class two. And I've titled it The Portrait, Discerning True Greatness. Now, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the privilege of learning at your feet, of being trained by you. We thank you for the word of God. It's been a light unto our steps, ordering our lives in your will, and the fullness of your plan is being made manifest through us. We thank you because this teaching series will cause a drastic shift in our lives. It will cause a drastic turnaround in every area of our lives, in Jesus' mighty name. And the people of God says, amen. So, the portrait, discerning true greatness. Now, what is a portrait? A portrait is a drawing, a painting, or engraving of a person that usually depicts only the face, the hair, the shoulders. Let me say that again. You know, your pastor, by now you should know how our sermons run. Once pastor says what we want to learn, he will start from what, why, and how. And so, I think these are the most important questions in life. What is this thing about? Why is it important? And how do we connect ourselves to it? You know, clarity of thought is very important. Clarity is very important. So, I like to teach with utmost clarity. I don't like people living confused. You know, I've seen people say things like, you know, a pastor is preaching and they say, I know you don't get what I'm saying, but I'll continue. I know you can't take it. You can't take it. Then he continues teaching what they cannot take. But, so, you must be able to take it. Praise the Lord. So, a portrait is a drawing, a painting, or engraving of a person that usually depicts only the face, the head, and shoulders. When an artist wants to get the portrait of a person, they get different pictures of that person that show the person from different sides. Have you ever experienced this situation where you were walking behind a person and the person looked like your best friend or your close friend, or you are walking by the side of a person and from the side the person looks like your guy? And you shouted, "Shubu me!" Only for you to get there and he was like, "Hello, who are you?" Or maybe from behind he thought it was your friend Ijoma. You're like, "Ijoma!" Only for you to get there and you're like, "Hello, hello!" And the person was like, "Excuse me," because from the side the person looked like your friend, but when you go closer you discover that that was not the person you thought it was. So when an artist or a sculptor wants to make a portrait, they get different sides of that person. They try to get the pictures of that person from different angles so that by the time they are done with the work, they have a true representation of who that person is. I believe you got that right. Now, what does that have to do with the subject of greatness and discerning true greatness? It has to do everything. It has everything to do with it. There is a portrait of what true greatness should look like. Yes, I know you get the point now. There is a portrait of what greatness should look like. And so, before we begin to teach about greatness, what you must do, the things that you must pay attention to, we want to answer questions such as, what is greatness? How do we differentiate true greatness from pseudo-greatness? What does greatness look like? What are the marks of greatness? Are you getting this? And like you've heard me teach before, wisdom is the ability to recognize difference. Wisdom is the ability to recognize difference. Write it down. See, you know, when you buy a toy phone for your daughter or your child can put it into a basin of water and wash the toy phone. And to her, she's washing her phone. Do you know that if your child is still in that baby stage and they are not properly guided, they can take your real phone and think it's the same as a toy phone and put it inside the water and begin to wash it. And when you come back, they're telling you, "Mommy, I was washing your phone. This phone is be very clean right now." And you're like, "What did you do?" So for the child cannot really differentiate between your real phone and the toy phone because that's the level of his or her wisdom. So as you mature, your wisdom ought to be able to recognize difference. So I'm going to start by saying what greatness is not. Are you getting this? What greatness is not? Because we are living in a day where a lot of mutilations have been made to the truth. The truth has been surrounded by so much false, ranging from the spurious to the scandalous. But the Bible tells us that the church is the pillar and the ground of truth. Look at 1 Timothy 3 verse 15. Paul speaking to Timothy, he says, "But if I tarry long, I wrote these things to you so that if I tarry long, you will know how to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." And so, if there's anything that was made available in the church, it is the truth. Now, when people come to the church, they should hear the truth that reflects God's mind, or God's mind, the opinion of God. Are you with me? So, what greatness is not? Number one, greatness is not fame. So, fame may accompany greatness. It may or may not accompany greatness, but being famous in and of itself doesn't mean you are great. You know, in this generation, you can be famous for being naked. What a generation that we are living in right now, where profanity is gloriously celebrated on high places. Some months ago, I was appalled. A young woman was being hailed because she slept with a musician for a car. And there was this controversy about her. Her name starts from S. It's annoying that somebody's name is Sophia. It means wisdom, but the person is completely opposite. Sorry. I'm sorry. But she became famous because it was in public knowledge that she had sex with a known musician for a car which he did not give to her. Her Instagram followership increased by almost 1 million. 1 million people going to watch rubbish. So, fame cannot equate greatness. Are you with me? People can, you see, if you can be bold enough to just say stupid things, you can become famous. Some years ago, there was a guy called Mr. Spell who became viral on the internet in a few weeks because he spelled everything they asked him to spell wrongly. They asked him, "Spell Nigeria." He said, LUEQVROBO, and everybody would be hailing him, and he would tell you, "That's the spelling." And they were like, "Hey!" And that thing went viral. In 2-3 weeks, the whole nation was talking about him. He was famous. He was called Mr. Spell. Does that equate greatness? No! Now, I want to do something if you remember this. During the lockdown, there was a tune that became famous. Pam, pananam, pam, 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 na-na-na-na. Da-na-na-na-na-na. Pam, panana, da-na. That tune became popular and famous because they were just showing how people were carrying a casket and dancing with it. Does that equate greatness? You know, now I can tell you no, but let me tell you the truth. In the minds of some people, they think that if you can be famous for anything, you are great.
That you have 100,000 followers on Instagram does not mean you are great, sir. 500 million followers on Instagram does not equate greatness. This is important too. I'm saying it because this generation, and now that they have done Facebook monetization, social media monetization, people are looking for anything they can do or say, all kinds of content, just to become famous and make money. So fame does not equate greatness. History is full of many people who were famous but not great, and many other people who were great but not famous. For instance, I want to mention some names now and see if you know any of them. Dr. Maurice Heilemann. Do you know that name? The chances are you don't know the name, but he is the pioneer of vaccines, vaccine development, that you can vaccinate a child, give a child a vaccine, and the child is protected from polio in the future. This is the man behind it. But you don't know his name. Gregor Mendel. Do you know this name? It's obviously not a famous name. He's the father of genetics. The whole idea of genetics in the medical world, this man, but he's not famous. And even in the Bible, there was one man that his name was mentioned only once, and it was Jesus who called his name. Only once. Let me read it to you. Revelation chapter 2 verse 13. Revelation 2 verse 13. This is Jesus talking to a certain church. He says, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Revelation 2 verse 13. Let me start again. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. Now, there is no story of Antipas in the entire Bible, but Jesus had the name of Antipas. He was a faithful martyr. That was a great man. For Jesus to talk about him, that was a great man, but he was not famous. Jesus had special recognition for him. Please, am I talking to you? Now, am I against fame totally? Of course not. Sometimes, fame is even required. You know, the Bible says, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Luke chapter 4 verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region about. So the fame of Jesus' work actually helped for the gospel to spread and people to come to the message that Christ was preaching. So fame in and of itself does not equate greatness. What makes greatness that in connection with fame is that, what are you doing that produced fame? Are you with me? So like Jesus, he was coming in the power of the Spirit and he became famous. And so, God was made famous. The work of Christ was made famous. And in that sense, greatness and fame have a relationship. But to be famous for just anything does not equate greatness. I believe that's clear. The second thing I want to say here is, greatness is not money. This one, in a world driven by money and possessions, it is easy to attribute greatness to money. Money may or may not accompany greatness, but the presence of money doesn't necessarily mean that the person is great. If not, every Yahoo boy is a great guy. You defraud people, use dubious means. They call it, there's Yahoo, there's Yahoo Plus. The ones that they are doing Yahoo with demonic enchantments and all of that. Now, Abraham was obviously wealthy. And if you study the Bible, Abraham's wealth was traced to his engagement with God and his industrial, him being industrious. But there was a lot of emphasis with Abraham being wealthy because God prospered him. However, there were also many evil people in the Bible who were wealthy. Are you getting this? The Bible is replete with scriptures telling us the danger of not putting wealth in its proper place when we'll have an ungodly desire. The Bible says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. That's 1 Timothy chapter 6. Now, money is not evil. It is when you love it to the point where you can do anything for it. That's when it becomes evil. Are you getting this? When money has dominated your heart to the point where you can kill for it, there's a problem. When you can steal for it, when you can defraud people, you can throw away relationships where nothing else matters, only money. That is a problem. Jeremiah 17 verse 11, it says, as the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatched them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at the end shall be a fool. My God, what is scripture? This is a word for all Yahoo people, internet defrauders. He's telling you, the same way a partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not. It's not your egg. It belongs to the chicken or the fowl. But another bird is coming to sit on it. It will not hatch. It says, if you get riches and it's not by right, it will you will leave it in the midst of your days. It will destroy you. And in the end, he says, the person will be a fool. Now look at Proverbs 13 verse 11. It says, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. So this is an emphasis on industry, on being diligent. Now, a great man can actually get wealth because he labored and built something solid. But that a person has money does not exactly equate being great. Some people, if you know what they did to get money, you will never do it. There are people I've heard of, they sold their private parts, sold simply because they just want to be wealthy. And you see them, and that's not greatness. Luke chapter 12, verse 20. I will talk about this one. Now, Luke 12, verse 20. This is talking about the rich fool. You know the rich fool. In the context here, if you read from verse 18, he had gathered a lot of substance to himself, brought money, brought riches and everything to himself. And then he said in verse 19, I will say to my soul, you have laid up goods for many years. It's time to eat and drink and be merry. Verse 20, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? It says in verse 21, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Next month, my God, my goal, we'll talk more about this. A man with wealth can achieve greatness depending on what he uses the wealth to do. By the time money in the hand of a man with purpose, money comes into the hands of a man with purpose, it can equate greatness. Are you getting this? But money just there does not equate greatness. Number three, greatness is not political power or influence. Greatness is not political power or influence. What makes influence translate to greatness, once again, is what was done to get it and what was done when it has been gotten. Let me say that again. Greatness is not political power or influence. What makes influence translate to greatness is what was done to get it and what is done with it after a person has gotten it. For instance, one of the most enigmatic figures of influence in the last century was Adolf Hitler. If you heard that man talk, the way he literally stirred up a whole nation to go into war just by his dictatorship, his powerful influence. He had this charisma, but I don't consider him a great man. So of all the with all your influence, now to just the key people up and down. Come on. He was bent on wiping out the Jewish nation, the Jews, completely from the earth. He committed a lot of war crimes, killing civilians. Are you with me? He was influential, but I can't consider, in my own opinion, I don't consider him a great man. No. When it was clear that he had lost the World War, the Second World War, he killed his children, killed his wife, and killed himself. That cannot be greatness. So what then is greatness? What then is greatness? Number one, greatness is marked by a divine assignment that is fully executed. Write this down. When an assignment, a divine assignment, is fully delivered, when you get to the full point of why that thing was started, that's greatness. Now, and when you hear divine assignment, some people just think, oh, it's when Pastor David is holding the mic. That's when a divine assignment. Listen, if God plants in your heart to start an AI company that will reshape the world in such a powerful way to make life better and advance the kingdom of God, that, and you fully deliver that, that's greatness. Are you getting me? That's greatness. If God gives you the next idea to build cars, you see, the people that did aeroplanes, cars, you think that was not a divine assignment? Trek from here. Just plan to trek from here to your house. Then you know that it was God that inspired somebody to create that car. That's from God. That idea is from God. In fact, when you look at the world and the creation of the world, you can see that God wanted us to continue creation after he had stopped. What we call aeroplanes or airplanes is just our own creation of the bird. What we call trains is our own creation of a snail that moves on the ground. And if you look at it very well, the idea of light, we have electricity today, we can create luminous objects because we first of all saw the sun, the moon, and the stars. So wherever God puts a divine idea in a man and it is greatly, completely executed, if God gives you a voice to sing and by the end of your life you deploy that gift, that thing that God put inside you completely, you have achieved greatness. Are you getting this? See, the plan is this teaching series should stir within you something that makes you hate mediocrity forever. Are you following me? The plan is when you are done with this teaching series, there should be something within you that will arise. Greatness should arise from you. If God calls you into ministry and you finish everything that God has planned for you, you fully deploy all that God said you would do, you will achieve greatness. That's greatness. When a divine assignment is fully executed, look at Acts, the book of Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13 from verse 22. He was talking about Saul in comparison to David. He says, and when God had removed Saul, it reads when God had removed him. So when God had removed him, or when God had removed Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Do you see that? All my will. He will fulfill all. You study the Bible, there are people that did not fulfill all. Look at Samson. You can't tell me that Samson fulfilled all. But he talks about David, that a man after my own heart, which will fulfill all my will. You know, I will encourage you to go back to the previous to teachings that we have done previously some years ago, when we talked about assignments, purpose, and destiny. We explained that the purpose of all men is to know Christ, to know the Lord, and to make him known. But we are going to do it, we are going to achieve it in some ways that will be different and in some ways that will be the same. So for instance, every child of God is to preach the gospel. We are to know the Lord intimately, grow spiritually, and preach the gospel to every creature, win souls and establish them in the Lord. But there are other things that we are going to do that will aid us in preaching the gospel, that we are not all going to be the same. Not everybody is going to be a doctor. Not everybody is going to be a media personnel. Not everybody is going to be in entertainment. Not everybody is going to be in construction. And so God will apportion different lines of assignment. So yours is to discover your assignment and fully deploy it. Fully deploy it. When you fully deploy God's assignments for your life, you have stepped into greatness. Look at 2 Timothy 4 verse 7. This is Paul speaking. Paul speaking. Amen. Hallelujah. Paul says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. Are you seeing this? Make sure. See, can you tell yourself, I will finish my course. What God has prepared for me, I will finish. Amen. So number two, I believe you got that first point, that greatness is marked by a divine assignment fully executed. Number two, greatness is marked by service. And it becomes really great when you serve a lot of people. Jesus says in Matthew 23 verse 11, he says, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Those of you who you like to run away from every opportunity to serve. You know, we are living in a day where people say, don't work for anybody, be your own boss. If you really be your own boss, you must serve somebody. You must serve somebody first. It says, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. The road to greatness, the road to being your own boss, is in serving other people. That's how God will promote you. You know, Luke chapter 16 says, when he was talking about the unjust steward, he says, if you have not been faithful in that which belongs to another man, who will commit unto you your own? Who will commit unto you your own? Greatness is service. That's one of the portraits of greatness you must get and get early. Praise the Lord. Look at Mark chapter 9 from verse 33. Mark chapter 9 from verse 33. The Bible says, and he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way? So, you know, the disciples of Jesus Christ had an argument as they were walking down with him. My nose would track. Okay. Sorry, I'm deviating, but I sometimes used to think about it. Those people. Okay. Mark 9, verse 33. And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way? What were you talking about? And look at verse 34. But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and said unto them, if any man desire to be the first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. Are you seeing this? The same shall be last of all and servant of all. So, one of the things you will learn if you are going to become great, if you are going to exemplify true greatness, is you have to start thinking, how will I add value to people? How can I serve people? How can I serve my company? How can I make this office better? How can I help my boss? How can I help my spouse? How can I help? Think about contribution. Think service. Think contribution. You know, I used to humorously say that life, God will allow you to be cheated so that he can pay you more many times. God will allow you to work more than you are being paid at a certain level of your life. And at a point, you will be paid more than you are working. Look at the CEOs that are paid the most. What do they really do? They just sit down somewhere, they think, they take coffee, do like this. But when they were starting out their career, they were pushing, working. A time comes, they become very high. And what they are collecting, the other guy will say, we are the ones doing all the work. No, there was a time when they were doing all the work and were getting very small pay. A time has now come, they are doing little work and getting the most pay. That is it. But you see people who always want to dodge. They always think of how they can collect, not how they can contribute. Greatness thinks about contribution. Even in your marriage, think about how can I be a blessing to my spouse? In your church, what can I contribute? In your family, everywhere, you should be. See, people should look at you and know this one. He's a man of service. Look at all our pastors. If you check all our pastors, you cannot really be my son and daughter and you have an air of superiority. No, you are a servant. That's why I'm called lead steward. When you have all the servants, I am the servant of servants. That's why we coined that word. When you see me lifting things, a stage will come where I may no longer have to lift things in church. When you see me carrying things in church, for a long time, by the grace of God, I have been serving. It's difficult for me to leave it now. Yes, I'm your lead steward, but I am used to putting my all, pouring out yourself as a drink offering. Greatness has the portrait of a servant. Are you getting this? Greatness is not overwhelmed about themselves. See, even the people that we call great today, maybe great entrepreneurs, great businessmen, check well. One thing that is common is they are contributing value to a large group of people. Microsoft. All of us are using Microsoft Word because he made it available to us. So, they will reward you. People will reward you based on how much service you are providing. So now, you talk about Elon Musk is providing service for a lot of people. When other internet are struggling, he went to go and talk about Starlink. Hi! So by the time network choke you and you say, no, I need to link to the stars. Don't mind me. Praise God. I cannot wait for when our people will begin to bring out things that will provide value in a long term. Provide value for a lot of people in the name of Jesus. You are flooded with divine ideas. As your pastor, I am your servant. That's why some people can, you can call me in the night, pastor. Pray. There is something happening. My wife is about to put to bed. And I will not say, are you telling me to pray? Hey, will you be commanding me like that? No. I'm your steward. Look at Acts chapter 13, verse 36. It says, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep, meaning he died, and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. It says, for David, after he had served his own generation, he served his generation. You want to ask yourself, how am I saving my generation? You want to be great. You must ask yourself, what am I going to leave behind for my generation to be better? When you start thinking like that, you are on your way to greatness. For some of you, like me, God will call you to serve your generation in the ministry. And you are going to serve them by praying for them, teaching them the word of God. I'm your servant. I teach you the word of God. I raise disciples for the Lord Jesus. And I'm serving you by bringing you closer to the Lord. bringing the things of God closer to you, bringing you towards closer to the things of the Spirit, and bringing the things of the Spirit closer to you. You must be able to define, how will I serve my generation? God, I mean, I've given you an idea. Are you serving your generation? Are you making this available? You can cook. How are you making this? How are you bringing it closer to people? People are outside eating rubbish, but you can make things that will make them say God is good. Serve your generation. It is a roadmap to greatness. Are you following me? So you can also say greatness is when a need is being met. Praise God. And finally, greatness is marked by eternal relevance. Can you say after me, eternal relevance? Being relevant to God's plan that will affect eternity. When a man does something that touches the heart of God, that's a great man. When a man does the will of God, that's a great man. There's a quote I heard from Apostle Aaron Osai that speaks to me so much. It says, skilled men make headlines, visionaries make history, but wise men make eternity. Powerful, powerful. Skilled men make headlines, visionaries make history, but wise men make eternity. Remember what Jesus talked about, the faithful martyr, Antipas. You know, there's a story in the book of Acts that touches me. Let me show you. Acts chapter 7. And I want to show you a great man here. This is Stephen. Stephen was being arrested for preaching Jesus. And they asked him to defend himself before they killed him. If he would see anything if he could say something that would be like a denial of Jesus and maybe gaining his freedom. But Stephen used the opportunity and was preaching. He preached so much about Jesus, talked so much about Jesus. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 7, from verse 54, it says, and when they heard these things, they were caught to the heart and gnashed on him with their teeth. They were like, oh my, conviction was so strong that they were like, Now look at verse 55, and I want to show you something that is not popularly preached about. Look at verse 55. It says, and he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Hey! The Bible never talked about Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Most of the places you see in the Bible, it says, and Jesus will be seated at the right hand of God. For Jesus to stand, Jesus was saluting Stephen. For Jesus to be standing, it means that Jesus was saluting Stephen. That is what we call eternal greatness. Because that's the greatness that is overarching beyond every other kind of greatness we can achieve, which is very important. Greatness in fulfilling a divine assignment on your life. Greatness in serving your generation. We must have that. But you see this one, it is most important. This is what is called greatness in the sight of God. Where you fulfill the will of God, you please the heart of God. Look at Stephen. Jesus stood up for Stephen. Hi. When last did you do something that you knew that God said, well done. Salute. This was a man taking stones for Christ, sacrifice for Christ. And Jesus stood up and said, Stephen, well done. It says in verse 55, and he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. That's a great man. A great man. Eternal greatness. You know, this eternal greatness, it can also be connected to a man that makes up his mind to do the will of God. Remember Genesis chapter 18 from verse 17. Now, look at this. It says, "And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." Are you seeing this? So Abraham will fulfill a divine plan. And you like we've learned before, all the nations of the earth being blessed in Abraham was talking about the fact that Christ will come through Abraham. And in Christ, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Now look at verse 19. It says, "For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken upon him." So do you know that proper parenting is a form of greatness? That you can raise your home for the Lord, it is greatness. Eternal greatness. Greatness that God can salute you. It's, look at what God is saying. "I know Abraham, that he will raise me a people. He will command his children after me." This is eternal greatness here. And all of these are important. So greatness is marked by three things. Number one, a divine assignment fully executed. Number two, it is marked by service. And service to a lot of people. And number three, it is marked by eternal relevance. Can you begin to pray? Lord, help me. Help me to live up to the portrait of true greatness. That my life will be marked by eternal relevance. My life will be marked by service. I will be known as a man of service. A man that serves. A man that contributes and adds value wherever I go. That I will not just be a collector, but I will be a distributor.